Yeah, Frank here, he's got his own billiard room.
Yes, it's the...
billiard room.
Come on already. We call it the...
The place to be.
Yes, the place to be. The place to be.
Then I shall be there.
Now, it's time. Live and in living color.
The Grandy Man can.
Ugh. Time to play the game!
No, you left me satisfied and smiling.
That's what she said!
So why do I want this? I want to make bank, bro. I want to get ass. I want to drive a Range Rover.
Place to be nations, Scott Criscola and Justin Rosero. This is the Place to Be podcast.
Very nice, Mr. Criscola.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dennis.
Japanese band Oral Vampire produced a song called The Repo Man and used footage.
Oral Vampire, huh?
Or Aural. A-U-R-A-L. What kind of show is this?
Sounds like some Twilight porn in Michael Vincent's collection there.
Oz went on to star in American Pie, of course, as the lacrosse player. Bismarck. No, wasn't it? Bismarck, wasn't that
his name? Bismarck.
No, who's the other guy I'm getting confused with?
Bismarck, yeah, he dressed as North Dakota.
There's only one place where the big boys play, and that is in my extra queen-size bed. Well, it just happens. What can you do?
Let's talk the fix.
I think they might hit a... shock wall.
Is that the Shockmaster's wall?
Yeah, I like Big Dick myself. I was just curious. PTB Nation, let me know what you're
our opener.
To do worse than Josh Richard. Yes, I'm a ball.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to another great episode of the one and only Place to Be podcast. I am your co-host, Justin Rosero, coming at you live here on this Monday evening inside the PTB Man Cave, and we have a very interesting week set up for you. It's draft week here. Place to Be Nation, Place to Be podcast. We're going to be checking out one of the drafts of wrestling history, and then later this week, we're going to be drafting our own or building our own cards, once again, like you've heard us do before, but more on that later. First off, let me go ahead and bring in my PIC. You may know him as the host of The Main Event, the host of Extra Points, and of course my co-host here, and that is Scott Criscola. Scott, how you doing?
Good evening, JR. Good evening, Place to Be Nation. Welcome to episode 306 of the Place to Be podcast. JR, happy day after Easter. Hope you had a very nice Easter weekend. Juliana, I'm sure, had fun with the Easter Bunny and all the other traditions, etc.
I like refuse to take her for a picture with the Easter Bunny.
You know, it's funny you say that. Before you go any further, it's funny you say that because yesterday I was having dinner with my mom and my sister and my brother-in-law and my brother Chris, and we were talking, and it really is true. My brother-in-law goes to me, you know, human-sized animals in general are really just creepy.
They're the worst. I like refuse to put her through that. I refuse to put her through that. Yeah. No,
Santa Claus is one thing. Santa's different.
Well, yeah.
Because Santa's a human being.
Well, there's a legend behind Santa.
Yeah.
The Easter Bunny is just a gimmick. It's a bad gimmick. Belongs to WrestleCrat with our friend Justin Henry and the crew
yes.
over there.
Yes.
Yeah, not a fan of the Easter Bunny. So yeah. There will be no Easter Bunny here. Yeah. I did like the late Easter, though, Scott.
I love the late Easter because last year Easter was early and it was during the tournament and my work was busy and I didn't enjoy
cold.
It as much. Yeah,
like
dark.
It was nice. It was so nice out yesterday, and it was a good, you know, we had some baseball games on. You had some NHL and NBA playoff games, which is always nice.
Yes.
So I prefer the late April Easter.
Me too. I agree. I concur. So I'm glad you had a nice weekend. I hope everyone had a nice Easter or Passover weekend, depending on your ideology.
Speaking of Passover, we have a show tonight. We didn't want a Passover.
No. Technically, this... you could sort of call this a vintage vault. We're kind of in between vaults because we, of course, just finished with WrestleMania 18. And next week we will be doing, of course, Backlash 2002. But, JR, something in the middle happened that we cannot ignore.
Very true.
Coming out of WrestleMania 18, we were through the invasion. We're through the whole Triple H build storyline. He is your undisputed champion right now.
Oh, boy.
But, well... not for long, clearly, but we'll get to that next week. But the not the problem, but the scenario in the World Wrestling Federation is they have got a gigantic roster now. Because not only do you have your normal WWF guys pre-March 2001, but now you have, like, what, two-thirds of a completely other two promotions almost. Oh, one and a quarter.
Right, and a big part of it isn't just a big roster, so it's not like just a bloated mid-card, like kind of like we had in 2000. We have a lot of big-time names right now.
Yes.
Like, a lot of big players are kind of in the mix here.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the idea was, look, we lost our main competition. Nobody else severe has really cropped up yet. You know, we're still a couple months away from real competition showing up in Ring of Honor and TNA. So we're sitting here. What do we do? We got this big old roster. We got a lot of TV time to fill. No competition. Why don't we make our own competition? We have these co-owners, so why don't we split them off? And, you know, storyline-wise, they said how Ric Flair and Vince McMahon can't coexist any longer. They both have a rightful claim to the promotion. So the board of directors decided to split the promotion into two. There'd be Raw, there'd be SmackDown. Vince McMahon would oversee SmackDown on Thursday nights, and Ric Flair would oversee Raw on Mondays. They would each split the roster via draft, and that would be it. We'd have one world champion that would bounce between shows. He'd alternate basically pay-per-view months. One month he'd defend against Raw, one month against SmackDown, and the rest would be fighting over the other titles that would be drafted to the brands.
Right.
So we're going to do a little two-pronged attempt for you here tonight. We're going to review that show, go through it quickly here, and kind of talk about what happened, go through the picks. And then we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to redraft Raw and SmackDown, but we're not going to do it in a standard draft where Scott and I go back and forth, because I don't know how that would go. I mean, it seems kind of silly at this point. So what I want to do is, I don't know if anyone's ever gone on ESPN.com or read those articles they do where it's like 5 years later, they look back at how the draft should have went if everyone had the hindsight or the foresight to know how things were going to play out. So like if you're looking at like the 2009 or 7 draft, whatever year it was, like Darrell Revis was drafted like 15th. You know, you'd argue he'd be the number one pick based on how his career played out. And then they redraft based on if everyone knew where they were going to go, how it should have been. So that's what we're going to do here tonight. So we're going to look at it and say, you know, if you were Vince McMahon or you were Ric Flair at the number one pick, knowing how these 57 people's careers played out, we'll keep the same thing, you know, NWO drafted together, a few other people drafted together separate. How should you have drafted these guys based on their future career? So we know where Spike Dudley went. So where would we take him? You know, so that kind of thing. So basically we'll split the rosters, try and balance them out, but also do it in a way of saying, okay, this guy had the best career going forward. He should have been drafted here. Make sense?
Absolutely.
Okay. I figured that'd be better than just going back and forth.
Yeah. What's that going to do? Yeah.
We do that enough. And you lose all the time, so it's not worth it.
Well, I had a great philosophy this time around, and I would have told you that Triple H would not have been the number one pick.
Well, he wasn't eligible for the draft. So
well, he wasn't eligible, right. And Stone Cold Steve Austin was a free agent. But we'll get to that now. So March 25th, it was not the Raw after WrestleMania, but the week after WrestleMania.
Correct. It was not the next night.
No, it was not the next night. It was the week after, and it was from the Bryce Jordan Center on the campus of Penn State University.
Oh, boy.
Pre-bad jokes.
Well, it was probably mid-bad jokes.
Yeah, it was in the middle of the bad jokes.
I know
what
was going on.
Bad dream,
room,
I should say. More like a bad dream, a nightmare.
And then, of course, that SmackDown would be the final co-brand show. So the draft wouldn't kick in until the week after.
Right.
And from here, we're just a couple weeks. Was it 1 week from Backlash after this?
No, Backlash was not till April 25th.
Okay, so we had a few weeks. I always remember thinking, we'll talk about this next week, but I was always finding it funny at Backlash where, like, you know, they did all the split up and they got back together. It was like only 2 weeks, you know, and then we were Backlash. Yeah. They act like they've been apart for years, you know, some of the guys. It's like someone, you know, you go to college and you're back the next week for a family party or something. It's like, we just did this big goodbye and farewell. Now we're all back together.
Yes.
So let's talk about that Raw itself. We'll start here. Linda McMahon opens the show, explains the draft to the locker room via TV. Mm-hmm. 20 on-air picks would be made, 10 from Raw, 10 from SmackDown, and then the lottery, a draft lottery would happen on Raw afterwards on the web. And Scott, did you stay up and follow the lottery after?
Yes, I did. My roommate and I did.
Yep, I remember doing that as well. So on there, it was played up where I don't think they were drafting, right? It was supposed to be just a random lottery, right? They were just assigning guys randomly.
Yeah, there was no like Ric Flair now. No, it wasn't that. It was just you just saw guys falling into slots.
So they were only really picking 10 guys apiece.
Yep, pretty much.
So our draft is going to be way better than that.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, of course.
Austin, of course, Steve Austin is a free agent, and he can sign wherever he chooses due to some kind of contractual clause. They didn't really explain that, did they? They just kind of said...
Well, I mean, obviously, this is where the behind-the-scenes issues were beginning.
Right. Let's save that. We'll save a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff and the debuts for Backlash next week.
Yeah.
I was surprised that... I was surprised that they kind of did this without explaining. I know what Austin had going on, and I know why they did it in real life.
Right.
But they didn't really give a storyline reason other than saying, oh, he's got something in his contract.
Yeah. He can pick wherever he wants because he's who he is, pretty much. I don't think anybody expected him to go to SmackDown, to be honest with you. I don't think he's going to work for Vince. So,
okay, so we open up with Taz versus Mr. Perfect. Kind of a cool matchup.
It was a cool matchup.
Taz still wrestling. I thought he was done by this point, but he's still hanging around. Mm-hmm. Perfect still looks awesome. Looks in great shape.
He does.
Taz had really ballooned up at this point. I think the injuries were starting to catch up to him, and he was spending more time in the booth, so I don't think he was getting as much workout time in. So pretty portly here, but still moving pretty well. I thought he snapped off some nice suplexes. Perfect looked great. Mm-hmm. Taz wins by submission, which really surprised me. Not that I thought Perfect was going anywhere, but kind of an odd finish, even looking back at it now. I thought it was a fun little sprint, nothing special, just a couple minutes.
Yeah, I was actually bummed. I felt bad. I thought maybe this was a chance for Perfect to kind of reinvent himself or reinvigorate himself and kind of, you know, you would think he was the kind of guy that, you know, he was in decent shape. You'd have thought he would get himself into some, maybe get into some storylines and kind of work up himself up the ladder. And I guess Vince wasn't totally in love with him at this point.
Well, they didn't seem too interested in pushing him to any kind of severity. I think the problem, too, is the bloated card. A bloated roster. Kind of where does he fit in, I guess. You're really going to put him... Well, he could still go, but... I mean, you could really see him hanging with some of the guys, like, you know, Angle. I mean, it would have been fun matches, but realistically, at this point, I guess, name value. I don't know. Anyway, so not much going on there. Taz wins by submission. We go to the War Rooms, which I thought was a cool touch. We have Vince and his, and Flair's and his with Arn Anderson. I kind of like that. I liked a lot of the touches they did on this night. They had the draft ticker and the big board, and I thought they really did a nice job making it seem like a real draft. I dug that. Not something they would normally do. A lot of times they'd be lazy with shit like this, but I liked that they kind of went all in on it.
Mm.
So Vince comes out for his first pick, and he selects... No? You're not going to give it to me?
I'm waiting. Dramatic pause.
Rock! There you go. So bit of a surprise to me a little bit. One, that they moved Rock to SmackDown. I know it was always the Rock show, SmackDown, but and two was, you know, they knew he wasn't really sticking around too much. I was a little surprised. I guess kayfabe wise you couldn't not make him the number one pick, but surprising that they would assign him here. But I guess they knew where they were headed. It's not like it really made a difference if Vince took a guy 1 or 12. I mean, you still get
the
really
guy, so makes no
I like the stack graphics. And they did a long interaction, promos from both guys. I thought this went on way too long.
This match, it was it was incredibly long, this promo.
This was the start of the "you are an asshole" chant that is good for one night here. Penn State, like, dives into it and loves it. And then from here on out, it dies a painful death and never goes anywhere after this. But Rock just goes on and on and on. You would have thought he was retiring for this fucking promo.
No.
So there you go. Number one pick is in. And then we get our second pick, and Mr. What? Ric Flair comes out with his second pick and takes The Undertaker. Taker flips out in the locker room, upset, storms off, and Scott, this would start quite the tradition, right? Undertaker's lifelong run on SmackDown.
That is true. He pretty much was on SmackDown for the rest of his career when he was a regular.
Right.
He would do a couple of Raw pops, you know, big shows and... Mm-hmm. Pumping Mania storylines. But for the most part, when he was a regular, which is pretty much the next 8 years, mm-hmm. I guess through the end of 2010.
Yeah.
He was a regular blue brander.
Mm-hmm.
Did that always surprise you though? Or was it because that he was like the one guy that you could always get good consistency out of?
Right.
You know?
Stabilizing force, and they needed a big name that could stay there, remain there, and they always put the kind of more fluid stars on Raw, it seemed like, but you know, Taker was always a good steadying force on SmackDown. And they used to say that, member for the locker room, too. Kind of keep the guys in order over there.
Yeah.
So, and they'd always have a lot of younger guys on SmackDown, it seemed like. So he was a good fit. So backstage in Vince's office, Kurt Angle's pissed off that Vince didn't take him first, and his feelings are now hurt. Vince is pissed that Taker was taken. Taker confronts him, upset, because Vince swore Flair wouldn't pick him. And Vince vows to make things right. So Taker to SmackDown, Rock to Raw, and this started. I'm sorry, Rock to SmackDown. Take it to Raw. Oh wait, so I was wrong on that. So it does not start Taker's lifelong run. We just went on this whole soliloquy. He's on Raw here.
Well, I thought you had said in the beginning. Eventually, he would. That's why I kept going with that. I thought you said that, but later that year, Stephanie would move on. But this is why this draft bugs me, and I'm so glad we're going to do a legit one later because, look, I love you, Nate. You know that, but this is the first of many really stupid picks.
Well, he was picking a spite. He was doing like the Matt Rotella fantasy draft, like where he was picking guy instead of doing what's best for his squad.
He was picking guys to piss people off,
right? Like, to spite people.
Haha, I'm going to take a Jet just to piss you off.
Yeah, like, man. I care that you take the Jets kicker in the fourth round. You know, like, that doesn't bother me. So
I'm taking Mariano, Yeah. It's like, whatever.
Like, do what's best for your team. And if Flair was, like, doing shit to piss off Vince, and he would do it the whole night, and it ends up definitely hurting him, I think.
But, easily.
We'll wrap that as we go. But, yeah, so I misspoke there. I wrote that down wrong. Taker goes to Raw, not yet starting his lifelong. He'd be his only Raw stint. And then, like you said, he would be on SmackDown later in the year.
Yep.
And be there for good. So our next match, we have Edge and DDP taking on Christian and Booker T. DDP still going here, put into a decent spot. A lot of good energy. It felt like a special night. Like, even the guys in the ring were working really hard, and the matches were at a good pace, a crisp pace, because you knew they were trying to fit a lot in. I thought DDP looked pretty good. He cleans house. It's a diamond cutter on Booker, and then Booker pins DDP for a guy that needed a big win. Booker really needed a win. And he gets it here. Quick match. This is one that could have actually been pretty good if they had a lot of time, either maybe on SmackDown or on pay-per-view.
I agree. Yeah, obviously after Booker losing at WrestleMania to Edge, he needed some juice. So definitely a big win. And of course, the previous, and we'll clarify it at Backlash, but we'll might as well just say it now, the DDP no longer the European champion.
Mm-hmm.
He lost the title, I believe it was the previous week SmackDown, to a guy that will get drafted later, and we'll tell you who that is when we get to his pick. But he is no longer the European champion.
Right, so. And Paige couldn't have had much time left here.
I don't think so. No, I don't think so.
April 18th, he would have his last match with Holly, suffers a neck injury.
So. Yeah, so.
And, I mean, he had nagging injuries anyway. You could tell he's a little bit hobbled here. He looked like his back was bothering him a little bit, so I wasn't surprised that he didn't make it too much past year. So he would be drafted later, but he has a brief run after that. So Angle's backstage, still going at it with Vince. Vince thinks Ric Flair may take the NWO, but Angle is sure he's next, even though he prefers Vince. So Vince drafts third and takes Kurt Angle. Kurt reassures him that Ric Flair won't take the NWO. And Scott, were you surprised this wasn't a snake style draft? Like, Flair really got fucked here. It's like Vince gets the first pick every round.
Yeah, no, he should have. Well, they're not thinking, they're not exactly thinking fantasy sports style, but
right.
Yeah, no, he did get hosed. But well, again, it was
just
a story.
Even line. Just common sense wise, and I just fantasy sports, but it's common sense that they should have went back and forth. I mean, that's the fair way to do it. Like, in this way, Vince gets the first pick every round. It just didn't seem very fair.
Yeah, no, it didn't seem fair.
So he takes Kurt. So, you know, Kurt gave him bad advice saying, hey, you know, don't worry. Flair will never take the NWO. Vince really wanted the NWO. Take me, because Flair will take me. You won't get me. So Flair takes him, and then...
You and me been finding each other for so long.
Flair... We'll get to the whole song by the end of the... This is awesome.
With the fourth overall pick, his second takes... The NWO.
What a terrible pick.
Well, I didn't think it was that bad because you get all three. So now Hogan's no longer in the NWO, as we saw at Mania. So X-Pac is back on the scene. Remember, he had been out since August injured.
Yep.
Now part of the NWO, him, Hall, and Nash. I thought it was a pretty good value pick. You get three guys for the price of one here.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, at the time, you're not sure, you know, you're not sure what the future holds for any of them. But
right.
Storyline-wise, yeah, you're getting three. You know, you're getting three dudes, you know, 6'10", 320-pound guy. You get Hall, who's always serviceable, and obviously X-Pac, who's still getting booed, and nobody wishes he was there, but he's there nonetheless.
Yeah, he's still good in the ring.
Worker,
so
yeah.
Flair's just taking his enemies at this point for some random reason. Takes Taker, who hates him, takes the NWO that hates him. Vince flips out, and he flips on Kurt, not happy. So then, Kurt whispers in his ear for his fifth pick, and Vince takes Chris Benoit.
All
right, you're not doing the theme for everyone.
No, I'm not going to do it all the time. I just want to see how long it would take you to say that.
So Benoit had been out, of course, since June with the neck injury. Still not back yet, but Vince takes him anyways. This is like, you know, drafting a guy who knows a little bit injured and may come back someday, but we're gonna stash him for now. So Vince uses a high pick, but worth it because he'll be back very soon. And once you do, you're gaining a big time player. Vince has a loaded roster by now, with three picks in, and he's got Chris Benoit, Kurt Angle, and The Rock. So really stacked.
Yeah, no, definitely good pick there. And of course, he would come back, I think, that following week on Raw, because I think that Raw was in, Edmonton. And that's when he made his. So he technically came back on Raw just for that show, but he would pretty much stay on SmackDown for the duration of the year, I believe. I'll have to confirm that. I'm not sure. Why do
well,
I think
he doesn't come back
to SmackDown later?
Oh yeah, he's on Raw for a little bit. He's on Raw till I think through August, but he doesn't come back to TV till almost June.
Oh, is that when he makes his return? Yeah. Okay, I thought it was the next week for some reason. Okay.
No. He's not back.
So it's an entire year.
June.
Okay.
Yeah, he's not back till June. He comes out. And then he's on Raw for like 2 months until we'll get to it. And I should add that our buddy, of course, Stephen J. Sutton, who will be helping us with a lot of the fun facts and different info here going forward on the podcast, mm-hmm. was kind enough. What he'll be doing is putting together because there's no way we're going to be able to keep track of all this. He's putting together a transactions list for us. So as we go through, he'll let us know who was where, who jumped ship, who jumped from brand to brand. Also some title changes and title matches, so I'll make sure I catch that as we go. And we should mention, too, he had listed some matches for us. Dark match on this night. Albert and Scotty Tuhati defeated Saturn and Hugh Morris. A guy named Randy Orton defeated Justin Credible.
Who?
Unjacked, Lance Storm defeated Val Venus. Tommy Dreamer defeated Raven. Test defeated Spike Dudley. And Tajiri and Funaki defeated Billy Kidman and Hurricane. So. Just to get that out of the way. Also, we should call out here in this draft, we haven't got any champions yet, but if a champion's drafted, that title becomes exclusive to that brand.
Yes.
So are you surprised we didn't get any champions like off the bat, like just to try and hoard titles? You know, are you surprised that they didn't, Vince or Flair didn't take a champion just to try and get the title on the show right away?
Well, at the time, we only had what? We only had three other belts. Well, four belts, right? We had there's no hardcore title anymore. So really, there's only, three belts, right? The Intercontinental title, the tag straps, and the women's title. Your tag champs were Billy and Chuck. And then you had RVD as your IC champ. I mean, I'm not surprised that somebody didn't go after RVD earlier. I think it was more talent. It just guys. Star power is what Vince was looking for. And Flair was just looking to piss everybody off. I don't know. It's really hard to wrap your head around this philosophy at all. I don't know what storyline-wise Flair was gaining drafting all these heels. It just made like zero sense whatsoever.
All right, and I was getting mixed up again, so I see what you're saying now. So yes, Benoit did return to Raw. Even though he wasn't drafted there, he is there for a while. So I think they make it like part of a trade or something.
Yeah. They wanted him. He wanted to make his big return in Edmonton.
No, so, I get that, but I'm saying storyline-wise, he ends up staying on Raw for a while.
Yeah.
So I think it was due to a, I think they made it like it was a trade or something. I forget. Yeah. Then he goes right back to SmackDown. But so he returns on the 527 Raw from Edmonton.
Okay.
All right. So this is how this is going to be now in 02. Too many fucking transactions to keep
guys moving around. We're trying to decipher the difference between storyline moves and non-kayfabe moves.
Right.
You know, why this guy's not on this show, why this guy's not here. Is it real? Is it fake?
Right, I'm going to have to really study the Sutton facts before we move forward next time.
Yes.
All right. So, Vince takes Benoit fifth, and again, loaded roster, which is good for him and bad for Flair. And the feeling that I feel for you. With the sixth pick, he takes Kane. And the NWO is not happy with this for some reason, and they walk off. So I think this is Flair's first pretty good pick. I mean, the NWO, like I said, was decent value. I think Kane's like the first guy that makes sense for him. That guy's stock on the rise and has been looking really good lately and was set for a push. So through six picks, we have Kurt Angle, Rock, Chris Benoit on SmackDown, Undertaker, Kane, and the NWO on Raw. So Flair going with the Hosses, Vince going with the work rate so far. Our next match, we have Trish Stratus versus Ivory. A big pop for Trish, silence for Ivory, and that's pretty much all you need to know about this one. All Trish, it was decent again. Pretty much follows the Trish formula we've seen since she's been kind of working her way up the ladder here. decent enough, hits the big move, picks up the win. And we move along to the seventh pick by Vince McMahon overall, and he takes Hulk Hogan.
Yes.
So Hogan, of course, had turned face at Mania. Still here. We'll see him in a little bit. Still rocking the black and white Hollywood look. Not quite had transitioned yet, but still on the face side of the ledger now, no longer with the NWO. I loved Vince playing the air guitar to Voodoo Child.
Yes. It was awesome.
I thought Vince at this point was easily winning the draft. Easily.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Yeah. Like, Hogan here was a good, solid value pick because he already had loaded up on young guys on work rate, and now you bring in the steady, big-name veteran.
Yeah, exactly. A guy that you know is going to get you butts in the seats.
Right.
Most definitely. Yep. If you give a little more than you're
asking for, your love will turn the key. So, at number eight, Ric Flair takes Rob Van Dam.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, this was a Flair. You know, Kane was his first good pick. RVD was his first smart pick.
Mm-hmm.
He gets a young star, a bankable star that the fans love, and
a belt.
He gets the Intercontinental title exclusive to Raw. Mm-hmm. Backstage, Angle tells Vince, make an IC title match tonight. I'll win and take the title to SmackDown. So Vince loves it, makes it happen. Did you like Kurt as Vince's advisor here?
Yes.
Draft advisor?
Yes, exactly.
It was like,
warm guy.
Like Mona and Coach. Remember when they did the draft and she traded
right.
the number one pick for the... Fucking what is she to Jerry Jones? Didn't she trade it for like a farm or something?
Yeah, yes, exactly. Yes, a farm,
a ranch. So yes, Angle's advising Vince here. So Vince has great idea. We'll have Angle versus RVD tonight, so you can bring the IC belt to Thursdays. Hogan and Rock chat backstage, and they say, "Hey, we're gonna team up. We're gonna face the NWO tonight. How about that?" Vince has his ninth pick, takes Billy and Chuck, tag team champions. Basically, wants some belts on his show. So, because they were tag team champions, that meant the belts could be, or they could be drafted as a unit.
Mm-hmm.
So they go over to SmackDown. Vince gets the tag title, so there'll be no tag team titles on Raw, Scott.
Yes, and since WrestleMania, Billy and Chuck have gained, what do they call him? It's not his manager.
Their stylist. Rico.
Yes. Rico.
It was Rico Constantino. We'll still get to him at Backlash, of course, former American Gladiators contestant. And a police officer in Las Vegas eventually.
But, yes.
The crowd heat here for Vince was deafening. Like, they really bought into the you are an asshole thing.
Yes, they did. Yeah.
They were all over him. I enjoyed that part of it. So next up, we got our big anchor match with Hulk Hogan and The Rock versus the NWO. Loaded match. And this is an example of the roster just bursting with main event names at this point.
Oh, yeah.
When you can just have a mid-Raw match thrown together with Rock and Hulk Hogan versus the NWO, you know, pretty stacked. I liked X-Pac with the NWO. I thought that was an obvious fit. I thought it was kind of cool tag, and it kind of wraps the brand era. You know, it was a good kind of going away tag match.
Yes.
Nash back in action for the first time here. Of course, remember he had injured his bicep, and actually, did he wrestle? Did he wrestle the night after WrestleMania?
Yes, because it was just a tag. It was Hogan Rock against
Hall and Nash. Okay,
yeah.
So this is his second match back on TV.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, Nash back after the biceps injury. Back in action. Crowd's going bananas. Wild breakdown late. Kane makes a save. Mm-hmm. His push is on hard. A very surreal match. When you look at the guys
really
involved
is.
And X-Pac working with Hogan and everything, it's an odd match. And, you know, really trying to push Kane on the level of Hogan and Rock. I loved Hogan selling the DQ as well. He, like, the bell rang, and when they announced that they had lost, he was, like, really pissed off about it. He's, like, really upset.
Very old school.
And I liked Hogan blending in with these guys. I liked this use. We're going to talk a lot about this, I think, quite a bit over here in the summer of 02. I liked him blending in with some of these guys. He actually fit well, I thought.
Yeah, he didn't seem...
He didn't overpower for the first time.
Yeah. Yeah, he didn't seem like, oh, there's Hogan and a bunch of other guys. No, not at all. It was just cool to see him there. It was just cool to see him in matches and in the WWE Raw, or WWF still, Raw atmosphere, and it was awesome. It was
and
absolutely
not
awesome.
Overtaking the picture.
Right,
just
not like
being
dominating
part of it. Right.
Yep,
just
exactly.
Being part of it. I liked that. So it was cool to see that. So again, kind of a passing of the era match here as the brand, separate brands move along. So Ric Flair comes back out. once again.
Lips of wine. More popular than any of these fucking picks he's doing, that's for sure.
Just all, I mean, it's almost like he has no management experience at all. I mean, do you agree?
Oh, he has no idea what he's doing. He's just pissing people off is what he's doing. And, ha ha, Taker, you've got to listen to me. Ha ha. Yeah, but it's your show, dumbass. So it's like, oh my God, what a mess.
So So he takes Booker here. Did you like that pick? What did you think of that one?
That was actually a very good pick. Booker, bona fide main event guy, upper mid card guy. Still a heel, but that will kind of, you know, meander through the summer and that kind of changes a little bit. But, you know, obviously a top notch guy, a guy that Flair trusts from his WCW days. So good pick for Flair here. I agree.
Vince with the 11th pick, which another pick I liked was Edge. I feel like he's balancing out anything Flair's doing at this point. So Booker and Edge are guys that fought at WrestleMania 18, pretty much on the same level. So I thought that was a nice offsetting pick by Vince.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, I do. And Edge, we'll talk more about him later. Yep. Edge coming off the win at WrestleMania and kind of setting himself up for a very nice little feud, which we'll talk about over the next couple of vaults. A very, very good feud for both guys. Absolutely. But
I like, too, that they, at this point, they're just like yelling at each other's faces backstage. It's like going through this flurry of picks. So we get two there, and then we get number 12. Build my world around you, darling. This love will shine, girl. Watch it and see. He takes the Big Show. Kind of a fart bomb pick there. That guy hasn't really been doing much. Vince, I thought now, with his first bad pick at 13, takes Rikishi. I think he's just trying to match taking a big guy. Really
is this
dumb.
Is this the part of the show where the writer, where the creative's like, all right, guys, this is taking too long. You just start firing names out at each other.
Yeah, I thought this is where it lost the feel of the draft. Like, yeah. I was really digging it. And then they do this, and it's like, ugh. Yeah. You know, we didn't need all these matches tonight and everything. Like, why not keep the format? Keep them out with their ringside if you want. And then they just cut to them. I really didn't
should have
like
them, yeah, they should be outside with, like, you know, like, with Arn and you know, with like a pad or whatever, right. And like taking notes and stuff. They really go all out on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I get why they wanted them backstage so they could do the shit with Angle and everything else. So then just keep them in their office. I just didn't like this. Mm. It lost that authentic feel they had going on, which was
yeah, because
really
now
cool.
They're just throwing names at each other because the show's running late. So
and Rikishi, a bad pick. Yes. Next match, we get Jeff Hardy versus Billy. Rico's the stylist added to the mix here. A quick match, Lita negates Rico, and Hardy steals the win. These teams have kind of been battling off and on as solo shots on TV. Again, not much going on here. A lot of the matches tonight, a lot of energy and the crowd's into it, but not like long or anything substantial. It's like they kind of blow off a bunch of matches before a guy split off. Mm-hmm. So Jeff pins Billy Gunn, and the Hardys win. But the Billy and Chuck will be taking their tag titles to Thursdays and SmackDown.
Yes.
Number 14, Flair takes Bubba Ray Dudley.
So doesn't take the whole team.
Well, you can't.
Half the team.
You can't. Only the tag champions could go as a team.
Oh, okay.
And the NWO, for whatever reason. Yeah. Every other tag team had to be split up.
Okay.
So he takes Bubba, Vince, to fuck with Ric Flair, because Flair wanted the Dudleys as a unit, and he says as much. So Vince, giving Flair a dose of his own medicine, takes Devon. So the Dudleys are pissed in the locker room. They hug by and walk off. To their new separate lives.
Forlorn.
Yep. So, yes. Next up, we have a European title match, Scott. And you mentioned that we had a new European champion. Why don't you tell us who he is?
New European champion is maybe one of the greatest ever, Mr. William Regal.
Yes, sir.
Defeated DDP on, I believe it was the previous week's SmackDown, thanks to the continuing feud between DDP and Christian.
Yep.
As Christian interfered. And then I think Regal smacked him with the Nux. DDP with the Nux and got the win. So William Regal, fresh off losing the Intercontinental title at WrestleMania to Rob Van Dam, is now once again European champion for the first time since, I guess, late 2000, right? Early 2001. So,
yes. Yep. So Rikishi set to challenge him here, the big 13th draft pick. But I thought it was silly that Regal wasn't drafted yet. I mean, he's not only a champion, but he's also awesome. So,
yeah, he's incredibly awesome.
Look at some of the guys that have been picked over him. It's kind of stupid. Yes. Before the match starts, though, this big monster jumps out of the crowd, and he's revealed to be Brock Lesnar. We had seen him.
Wait. I think we have to do it like we do Rock the Vince way.
All right, go ahead. I'll let you do it.
We have to do Brock Lesnar.
Makes his second appearance. He had been on. Actually, was he on SmackDown 2 that week? I know he was on Raw the week before.
He already debuted once.
Well, can you let me finish? Will you let me finish? I said, was he on SmackDown? I said it was his second appearance. Because he was on the Raw the week before.
Oh, right.
Was he on SmackDown that week, though?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
No, I think he was just Raw only.
All right. So he shows up here and beats the shit out of Rikishi. Paul Heyman's at ringside with him. Instant push for this guy. We'll get into his background Monday.
What did JR call him? A hemorrhoid on the something of life.
Yes.
It made no sense, but it was fun.
Hits a big F5 on Rikishi, which is basically like a spinning TKO. No match here after Rikishi's wiped out. Jazz, we go to WWF New York, where Jazz is all jacked up and bitching about something. I don't know what the hell she was whining about.
She said, it doesn't matter where the divas go, she's going to beat the shit out of both or all of them or something like that. Why is it? You know, it's almost like you would think that, except for Big Show, who gets punished by going to WWF New York, it seems like everybody else who goes, all right, I get to get trashed.
Right.
It's like they show up, they're all bombed. It's like so funny.
And this was, of course, we should mention not only the world champion, but the women's champion would be able to float between brands and go to each. So they were not bound to a brand. And basically, once one of them lost their titles, they would then get to pick the show they would go to.
Yep.
So Jazz is in WWF New York. And again, we'll get to more on Lesnar on Monday because we got a lot to talk about with him. But it was a great...
Yes.
I remember popping big time the night after Mania when he showed up.
Oh, yeah, because we had heard some rumblings about him down in OVW, and this is the time. We're going to talk a lot about that class, or that promotion, JR, throughout the next 4 or 5 vaults, because you're going to start seeing guys pop up. And 2002, kind of like 96, JR, 2002 may go down as one of the seminal years in professional wrestling, because this is when the class comes up.
And the first time, like 96 was different. Their class was all the veterans that were being misused in WCW.
Right.
Or young guys on the verge of becoming veterans. Here, we're getting a lot of rookie infusion.
Yeah. Legit young crop, you know.
For the first time ever. So so Vince comes out to make his pick, and he says, I'm drafting Brock Lesnar, but... Flair comes out and corrects him, says, Vince, it ain't your pick, buddy. It's mine. You're jumping the gun. Well, Vince says, well, I'll take Brock Lesnar. Flair, you can have the next two picks, sir. He does the... One of my favorite things, like he did to Flair the Natural Survivor Series, where he just explains something away, says okay, and then tries to walk away. It's kind of like my daughter does when, I'm going to watch Mickey Mouse, okay? And then just walks away. So I always enjoy that with Vince. Okay, well, it's fine. You take the next two. I'll take Brock. And Flair says no, and he takes Brock Lesnar at 16. So to balance the ledger, Vince obviously equals things out by taking the world's strongest man, Mark Henry.
Because they are even.
Yes. You know, they were trying to reboot Henry again. We'll get to that.
He was hurt. Big shock.
Again, yeah. He had been hurt. He's back finally here. He'd been out for a while, right? When the fuck's the last time we saw him?
Jesus.
2000 sometime, right?
Yeah, he wasn't even involved in anything in the invasion, right? He was involved in nothing. Wow. What was that injury?
Oh, man. Let me look it up. Because I feel like we haven't seen him. This was his big... You know, this was set to be his big return. I remember they really wanted to get behind him again, and they started doing, on SmackDown, they'll start doing all, like, the feats of strength. So he was hurt, in 2000, he was sent to OVW to improve his conditioning and wrestling skills. Oh, so I think he was competing in OVW the whole time.
Wow. That's kind of crazy.
And then his mother passed away. He started work, he felt the need to compete in Super Bowl weightlifting, the Arnold Strongman Classic.
Yeah, he went on hiatus.
His mother. So, yeah, he started doing that stuff, and then he comes back here on SmackDown. So, he actually, for once, was not hurt. He was just working out and doing stuff in OVW.
Doing other stuff. Yeah. Okay.
So, Vince takes him here to even out the big man side, and then at number 18... Finally!
Andy Gibb gets drafted?
Finally, William Regal gets drafted. Regal's pissed he isn't with Vince, though. But again, he's stuck now on Raw with Flair. So Flair's probably his second best move behind RVD because he gets two titles and two great workers. Vince's second brain fart takes Maven at 19 because he wants the hardcore title. Even Maven was surprised.
I like the way Vince, but give Vince credit though, because he seemed very legit when he said it. I want to get the hardcore division. I take Maven.
Yes.
he's trying to do so hard to like put the guy over. It's like so great.
So Flair has a golden opportunity here, I thought. You know, Vince kind of made a fart pick with Maven, and he's got a chance to close out the draft with his 10th pick, 20th overall, and really take anyone he wants off the board because Vince is done picking.
Yep. The things you are to me,
and not some puppet on a string. And he takes Lita. No idea why.
He doesn't even take the one with the belt. right? He wasn't drafted.
Well, he couldn't take Jazz. Jazz has to stay.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I'm sorry. My bad. I thought that Trish was still the champ. That's right. Right. Jazz was the champ.
So, no. But I still don't get why he took Lita. It made no sense. I mean, I guess his thought was maybe he could try. Well, because, yeah, but the women's title can't come to your brand. So what is the point? Real? I mean, if Lita wins the title, she'll just bounce around. I mean, there's nothing keeping her to Raw.
Right.
It's just an odd pick. And the draft really started awesome, and it petered out severely with the rushed picks and weird picks. And I like Vince here, though. Mox Flair for taking a woman and says he's a lascivious pig.
Yes, he's a lascivious pig.
It doesn't surprise me at all. So I thought Vince easily killed the draft. I thought he only made a couple bonehead picks. Flair had a lot littered throughout, and it's topped by his really fucked pick of Lita here.
Yeah.
So we'll go through the draft lottery when we finish the show. Up next, we have Kurt Angle and RVD. Angle still has the Mirror Universe black tights on from WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. A solid match here. Ref calls for the bell after a bump. Kurt would have had the win with the ankle lock, but he ends up getting DQ'd because he used the ref and knocked him down. Edge comes out to attack Kurt. Kurt wipes him out with a German. Edge comes back with a spear, and that would set up their feud. So Edge and Kurt, both SmackDown guys, lined up now to feud. And RVD keeps the IC title on Raw, retains it here against Angle. I thought this was probably the best match of the night.
Oh, it was excellent. It was excellent. And RVD continuing the, I know we hate using the term, but continuing the rebuild from kind of the downer of those few months, end of 01 right into beginning of 02. But he's looking really strong on Raw right now. And he'll continue to look strong because a returning star really pumps him up, and we'll get more into that guy at Backlash.
Mm-hmm. So, all right, great match. It is then time for the main event. It is a three-way. Mm-hmm. For the World Heavyweight Championship. I'm sorry, the Unified Heavyweight Championship. Mm-hmm. And the winner would get to bounce back and forth, and the two losers would basically, well, actually, one of the losers, if she lost, would have to leave.
Be gone forever.
And yes, the other one would get to go to the brand of his choosing, if I'm correct, right?
Yes.
So I'll make sure. Yeah, they're all free agents due to the handicap main event. So the world champion would stay bouncing, and the loser would get to pick the show they want to go on. Mm-hmm. So that means Chris Jericho gets his championship rematch from WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. His buddy, Stephanie McMahon, is also in this match.
Yes.
And if she loses, her career would be over. Mm-hmm. And of course,
time to play the game!
It's amazing how you knock me off my feet. Mm, I won't go.
Triple H, the Unified Champion.
I feel like we turned to a Sirius XM channel all of a sudden.
The Casey and JoJo Scott this week in 1998 was the number one song. So that was.
I caught part of the same count on what was it? 90s on 9.
Yeah,
it was a pretty badass countdown.
Oh, what a great songs week incredible in music history. 1998.
Yes, that
was
a fun year. I was in radio. It was a tremendous year.
Tons of good
stuff. By the way, speaking of, I didn't do it tonight. I wanted to save it. The great Jason Greenhouse made me a medley for your boy.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to, I will debut it next week at Backlash.
Geez. I can only imagine what's coming. So, we have a three-way for the title. Of course, loser gets to pick where they go. The winner stays champ and bounces. And Stephanie would retire or be kicked out of the company if she could not win the title.
But Triple H, no, well, Triple H had to pin her.
Right, okay, right. So, if Jericho
it had to be
just
Triple
won,
H pinning
right
her. Jericho okay didn't have to. Right. He had, Triple H had to pin her to for her to be out of the company.
I thought Jericho already fell back to just a guy.
Yes. Yes. I agree.
So match goes 8:07, and they played it up all night like it was a triple threat. It was actually technically a handicap match. But no, it didn't really feel that way. Like, they were really playing it up like they were all out for themselves.
Well, Triple H, or JR said all night, I smell a trap. Right. I smell a trap. Right. It's a trap.
So, and Triple H would end up pinning his estranged wife, 807. So she would be removed. Triple H calls for security. They drag her out one last time. And Jericho just quickly forgotten, just like he was throughout this whole feud. Screwed again, doesn't even get pinned, and loses his rematch, and he would disappear and reappear on a brand of his choosing in a couple weeks. So Triple H will now be the world champion, heading into the brand split era. He will bounce back and forth between shows from month to month. So
and, JR, since we won't talk about free shows again until after, you know, the next pay-per-view, this will be the last time on Raw that you will see the Globe belt.
That's sad.
Because the following Monday on Raw, Ric Flair debuts the new belt, which we'll talk about at Backlash, which I was one of those belts took me a little bit to get used to, but I did kind of dig it. It was very Flairish, had that old school NWA look. But as for the big gold belt, that will be off TV too, but not permanently, of course. We'll talk about why down the line. But this is the last Raw that you will see the Globe belt, the belt of the Attitude Era. It's pretty much called the Attitude Belt, as it debuted the night after WrestleMania 14, and lasted for the next 4 years.
So, what did you think of the show overall?
I didn't like it as much as I thought I remembered liking it.
I liked the first half.
I liked the draft. Did it? Draft did it, but they spent too many time with it. Look, fine, you've got the triple threat title match at the end. That's fine, but that's all you have to book. They should spend the rest of the night doing the draft.
Right.
Draft, title match. That's it.
Well, no, and you could do the other. You could do the RVD. You could do RVD angle, and you could do the NWO match. Like, I think those three.
Okay.
Were enough.
But those you could have done, like they did when they booked them on the show.
Right,
but going into the night, the only two things that should have been scheduled or promoted was the draft and the triple threat title match.
So would you have done more picks on TV?
Yes, absolutely.
Why not?
Well, no. What I would have done is I would have done the 20 picks, but I would have had them stay at the podium instead of them doing that.
Yeah, but if that's the whole. Yeah, but if you're saying the whole show and those three, you're gonna have more time to fill. So I think you could probably even fit more than that. You could have probably done 30.
Could fit more picks. Sure.
You probably could have done 15 each.
Yeah, 15 each. Sure.
I mean, why not? You know, this is a one-time thing. It's a big thing. Why do we need to have Taz versus Mr. Perfect or you know, Trish and Ivory? It just made no sense. Well, I guess the thinking maybe it would have been a little bit boring. I don't know, for the crowd if you want, they want to see wrestling, but
true.
May you give them the three matches, but make them a little bit longer. Make that NWO match longer.
Yeah,
make
and
the
somehow
main event longer than 8 minutes.
Right, and you somehow fit a Brock sighting somewhere.
Did you like the brand split at the time? Do you think it was a good idea?
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was creative.
I liked the
roster was pretty loaded.
I liked it. I was on board with it.
I was concerned about how they were going to write alternating title feuds.
See, I liked that.
That was something I liked
about it.
I think going uncharted territories is a good idea. I will admit I was a little concerned because I was wondering, well, on the months that the world champion is, yes, I mean, I was concerned that the world champion on one feud, on one show would have been great, and then the other show would have been kind of dying, but they had talked about, I remember, on a lot of the websites saying that they wanted to invigorate the Intercontinental title and make it back to the prestige that it was in the 80s and early
90s. And you still
90s.
Make guys fighting for the number one contendership. I mean, you just make that the title on the other, on the off month.
Right.
So if Triple H is involved on SmackDown for the month, on Raw you have two guys, you know, in an arboreal feud to become the number one contender for the next month.
Right.
So there's ways you could have done it. I liked it a lot because I thought they were going to already, with the invasion done and the NWOs is kind of there now, they're not really doing any kind of invading. I thought they were starting to settle into a kind of a blah Raw SmackDown felt the same. Like, I thought that their original idea and the way they executed out of the gate was very good. They really did worked hard to make them feel very separate. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was exciting. And I thought in a way it made SmackDown must see. Because I think for a stretch here, SmackDown was really kind of, I mean, stuff happened, but they were getting to the point where the big shit was happening on Raw. And SmackDown you get a lot of the matches and some of the backup storylines, but you could miss SmackDown and be caught up. Now they made it to where you had to watch SmackDown if you wanted to see Kurt Angle if you wanted to see Edge, if you wanted to see The Rock, you wanted to see Hogan. Now you have to make both shows must see now. So I thought that was shrewd,
and that may have been JR, the philosophy about why Vince's picks were so good and why Flair's picks were so
shit. Oh, it definitely was.
Because you're like, you're going to watch Raw anyway, so who fucking cares who's on this show?
Yeah, no, that was, you're right. You're 100% right. They were trying to load up SmackDown to make it a viable entity and get people to watch. So, all right, let me quickly read. Here's the rest of the draft lottery. So now these were bouncing all around, so it was not alternating. Mm-hmm. So we come back with three straight Raw picks. We got Billy Kidman, Bradshaw, and Tajiri to Raw. Stevie Richards to SmackDown. Chris Jericho signs with Raw. Matt Hardy and Ivory to SmackDown. Raven to Raw. Albert to Raw. Jeff Hardy to Raw. Hurricane would end up going to SmackDown. Mr. Perfect would stay on Raw. Al Snow to SmackDown. Spike Dudley to Raw. Lance Storm to SmackDown. D'Lo Brown to Raw. DDP to SmackDown. Sean Stasiak, Tori Wilson, and Terry go to Raw. Scotty Tuhati, Jacqueline, and Stacy Keebler to SmackDown. Here's a good little bunch to Raw. Goldust, Christian, and Trish Stratus. Test to SmackDown. Just Incredible to Raw. Farouk to SmackDown. So the APA is now split. Big Boss Man to Raw. Taz to SmackDown. Tommy Dreamer to Raw. Hardcore Holly to SmackDown. Crash Holly to Raw. Val Venus to Raw. Mighty Molly to Raw. And Perry Saturn to SmackDown. And those 21 through 57 were done on the website later that night. All right, why don't we take a break, Scott? We'll come back and we'll jimmy this thing up.
Let's do it. Because?
Because.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor Wrestling. Make sure you check out The Kevin Kelly Show each and every week. PlaceToBeNation.com. We'll be talking about wrestling in the past and wrestling today. Plus, be talking about all kinds of sports and pop culture, whatever's on your mind, too. We'll answer your questions each and every week. The Kevin Kelly Show, right here, PlaceToBeNation.com.
What's that? Chad, do you hate it when commercials run and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on PlaceToBeNation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and... Shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, this sounds terrible. The Titans of Wrestling... Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans of Wrestling are...
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for the show. I break down matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Pop. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling. You know you want to hear it.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week you can join Marcus Vandenberg, Big Nasty Alfred Kunawa, and myself on the Kings of Sport podcast, available exclusively on PlaceToBeNation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Hey, this is Ben Morse from Marvel.com as well as the Brad and Chad Show, and I've got a new podcast. Well, I'm part of a new podcast, Place to Be Nation's Main Event. Hosted by Scott Criscolo every other week, it's a roundtable discussion with myself, Andrew Reich, Steve Willey, Jordan Duncan, and an assortment of special guests as we talk wrestling today, the big questions, and our feelings. Please, please, please check this podcast out, because if the ratings go down, I know I'm the first head on the chopping block for Justin Rosero. See you guys every other week on Place to Be Nation's Main Event.
I'm Scott Criscolo, and your new home for sports is Place to Be Nation's Extra Point. Join me and the doctor, George Urbelino, for your sports hookup, whether it's NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, colleges, or the Cowboys MMA Blitz.
Forget about it. Plus, join me for my prescription where I will solve all the world's sports problems with my own brand of medicine.
That's Place to Be Nation's Extra Point, here on PlaceToBeNation.com.
In Rhode Island and looking for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers. In a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Bonehead's also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Don't forget to check out our fantastic podcasts as well, including the voice of Ring of Honor, Kevin Kelly, exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. Also, be sure to check out our friends at thehistoryofwwe.com, prowrestlingonly.com, Scott Keith blog at rspwfaq.net, and piledriverwrestling.net.
Hey, this is Scott Hudson, and you're listening to the Place to Be podcast with Scott and Justin.
All right, Nation, we're back checking out the WWF draft from March 25th, 2002. Quickly, just talking about PlaceToBeNation.com. We had the debut of the Legends House on WWE Network, and Scott, you and Dan McGinn did a back and forth with that. Very good back and forth column, very similar to what Ben and Jen do for the Divas. So it was an interesting first episode, I thought. I'm sure
yes,
you guys will talk about our main event next week, but a lot going on in that episode. A lot of
interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting things.
It's a cool show, though. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I don't think it'll make it really good as the episode as the show progresses. But that first episode really opens up a lot of things.
And Fink needs a diet.
Oh my God! Keep playing tennis and avoid the cabbage. Good God!
Kings of Sport. We're back. Episode 57. Looking at the NBA championship playoffs coming up here that are just started over the weekend. And speaking of, Andrew Reich had the Western and Eastern Conference Finals first round rather previews up as well. So check those out if you're getting ready for the NBA playoffs. Ben and Brad Woodling pinch hitting for Jen Engel this week for Total Divas, watching Total Divas, or as Andrew Reich calls it, Total Divas doing Total Divas, season 3, week 4. We have all our usual recaps, SmackDown, Nate Milton's TNA report, we had Steven Sutton's Ring of Honor report, and then, of course, Raw and Main Event and Superstars. We also had the debut, Scott, of the Steel Real to Us show, episode 218.
Mm-hmm.
We have Jeff Peck and the crew over at WrestleChat.net. We talked about that show for how many years on our commercials.
I know.
It's finally arrived here at PlaceToBeNation.com. Along with it, Scott, the debut of The Bauer Show.
Yes.
A big podcast we picked up here with Michael Bauer, former ESPN Radio in Hartford, Connecticut. He did a show there with Jeff Peck, and we're going to be simulcasting it. And the first episode we're running here had Jonathan Coachman on.
It was a fantastic first episode. I listened to the whole thing. They talked about Packers fans and the coach was on, and they talked about your Jets. It was a very very good first episode. Fantastic.
Yes. So if you're looking for more sports talk, we have the Bauer Show right here for you. We also have the High Spot with Steve Willey and Glenn Butler, looking at Sting, Ring of Honor going to pay-per-view. And that's something, Scott, I've been sitting on for months, and it was gnawing at me. So I was glad it finally was announced.
You did a very good job, my friend. Very good job.
Kevin told me that one a while ago, and I was like, and like people would bring it up, and I'd be like, I'm sorry, let's talk about it. Roger Marcette went back to class, Scott, the cowboy.
Yes,
looked at the Ultimate Warrior versus Rick Rude trilogy. Looked at WrestleMania 5, SummerSlam 89, and SummerSlam 90. Of course, it was the 15th anniversary of the passing of Rick Rude over the weekend.
Yes.
And of course, as well as Ultimate Warrior's passing last week. So kind of a timely look by the cowboy.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Capel has three parts of his case for Captain America up. If you're looking for anything about Captain America and you want to read Tim Capel, who's a great writer, you can check that out. Three parts.
Yes.
The US Movement, making his debut on PlaceToBeNation.com, was Mike Mears, kind of talking about how the ascent of Daniel Bryan and really how that chase was maybe more about us than you may have thought, more than him. Scott Keith's NXT report, episode 7 of the Main Event. You had you and Ben, Andrew Reich, Aaron George, and Jordan Duncan talked about WrestleMania, the Hall of Fame, Ultimate Warrior, Daniel Bryan, GWF, I keep saying GWF, GFW.
GFW.
and much, much more. We also had Stephen Graham's episode 2 of the Pro Wrestling Super Show, joined by Derek Cornette and Chad Campbell. Mm-hmm. And they dove into a pretty interesting topic. Scott, if you haven't heard the show yet, it's going to kind of drill down on unique topics, not really a huge overview. So they pay a little bit of tribute to Ultimate Warrior. They look at Battle Royals, good and bad, and all the various incarnations. And then they end with their TV, music, book, and wrestling recommendations. So another cool podcast of the family. We also celebrated Roddy Piper's birthday, Scott. I did a piece about remember the time he saved Virgil. Mm-hmm. 1990 into 1991, when Virgil turned on Teddy DiBiase, the role Piper played. And I wanted to do a piece on his birthday, but kind of pick something a little unique. So I looked back at that entire storyline. And also today we reran my piece from the summer of 1990, Brutus Beefcake, and the heartbreak I went through when he was injured and couldn't make it to the IC title match. And of course, today was Brutus Beefcake's birthday. So that's why I reran that. But so PlaceToBeNation.com has everything going on. And in case you don't listen or you haven't yet heard the latest episode of the Kevin Kelly Show, we had a major announcement. Mm-hmm. And part of that announcement's on the line with us. Would you like to join us here for a minute, Mr. Dan McGinn?
Yeah, guys. How's it going?
Good, good. How are you? Dan, of course, writes at PlaceToBeNation.com. He edits and he helps me produce the Kevin Kelly Show. And he's taking on quite the big role for us because debuting this Friday, episode 1 of the weekly Steve Corino Show podcast.
Ugh, awesome.
Yep, Mr. Corino will be going about an hour every week. Going to talk wrestling, going to talk baseball, going to talk talk comedy, sports. He's going to have an interview every single episode. And Dan McGinn, you will be playing the producer role for that, right? You'll be on with Mr. Corino. It's very similar to how I am with Kevin. Probably not as overbearing as I can be, but it should be should be a lot of fun.
Well, you know, not many people know my background. I used to do some minor league baseball announcing, and the thing about it was is I don't think I've ever entered a situation where I didn't know who my broadcast partner was. I didn't actually meet him, sit down, talk, do anything. And this should be interesting because Steve seems like a great guy, mm-hmm. and he's already accepted me. We've, we're just kind of exchanging a couple Facebook, interactions. But it's going to be great. I mean, I think the first episode's going to be exciting because we're really going to have to get to know one another,
right,
and kind of build that chemistry right away. And but he's insisting. He's like, we're going to have fun. This is going to be a great show. We're going to have interviews. We're going to talk all kinds of topics. It's not just going to be about the wrestling. I think it's going to be sports, movies. I'm a little bit scared, man. There's going to be some political talk as well. And so
just don't have John Walters on.
It should be fun, though. I mean, it's going to be a pretty unpredictable 60 minutes or so each and every week, and it's going to be fun. We're really lucky to have him.
Do you want to announce who the first guest is this week?
Yeah, the first guest was announced on the Kevin Kelly Show. It actually will be Cliff Compton.
Very
will
cool.
be here. And that's going to be fun. And, for you Deuce and Domino fans out there, I'm sure there'll be plenty of opportunities to talk about that experience as well.
Yeah. So why don't you tell us where we can send questions for Compton or for Corino?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a new Twitter out as well. It's called at Steve Corino Show. You could certainly send things that way. You can also, cheap plug here, you can also send questions my way. At dmcg4881. We're trying to get to 100 followers, guys, so we're really getting close. So if you can actually send, or I'm personally almost getting 100 followers. I don't know, the show might pass me at some point, but,
probably.
But yes, send those questions, very much like the Kevin Kelly Show. We always get some great questions on KK's show, and mm-hmm. And Carino's going to talk about just about everything, so definitely send those questions our way.
Very cool. All right, McGinn, we'll let you go, and you will have your time this week with Steve Corino coming this Friday, PlaceToBeNation.com.
Hey, appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, get out
Thanks,
of here,
Dan.
Scamp. All right, Scott, it is now time. We're going to revisit this draft, and what we're going to do, like we mentioned earlier, is just kind of break things down and say how maybe the draft should have gone with a little bit of hindsight, looking back, 12 years later, pretty much almost to the day. A few weeks ago, 12 years in a month. So if we're rebooking this thing, we have 57 entries to play with here. Who would been your number one pick? Who should have been? We'll start with SmackDown. Who should have been the first guy to go? When you look at how everyone's, we're assuming everyone's career, we know that by switching brands that feuds may have been different, but their overall success, length of their career, an overall outcome would have been about the same. So if we're looking at Hulk Hogan, he still would have left a couple times. He would have went to, all that would have stayed the same. So we're, mm-hmm. We know that certain great matches may not have happened, but maybe they would have found a way to happen. So we're just looking at, if you were putting the, if you were ranking these guys at that time based on how their career was going to go, how should they have been drafted?
Well, I don't think there's any doubt the first pick overall should have been Edge. I don't think there's any question.
Yeah, I mean,
Look at the staying power. The guy, and from this moment until he leaves in 2000, until he retires in 2011, he's a 12-time world champion. He's main events pay-per-views. He was the anchor of SmackDown for like 5 years. He main evented WrestleMania 24, had a good feud with Undertaker. I mean,
well, there's a few guys I want to throw here, and we'll see what, you know. One is Undertaker. Two is Chris Jericho, who I think is a sneaky pick. Now, I know he wasn't involved, but, you know, whatever. We're going to use him here. Do you think Jericho... And by the way, this wiki page is a fucking disaster. So
it is a mess.
Some of the guys we may have mentioned before, I don't know. Like Jericho, I thought he went to SmackDown right away. Matt Hardy was on Raw right away. So I might have misread when I was reading them. I was just going by this Wikipedia page, but it looks like it's off. So,
yeah.
I know a couple of them were wrong. Save your tweets. I mean, Taker, I think, is in play for that number one slot. I think Kane is up for grabs in that number one slot. I'm thinking the guys you would have gotten a lot of meat and longevity of. So you get Taker for another 8 years. You get Kane for another 12. And Jericho, you have very high level. Now, Jericho took some time off. You know, he misses 2 years here, a year there. So I think that hurts him a bit. I'm for Edge being number one. I would say Edge 1, Taker 2. You agree with that?
I think that's perfect. And Taker doesn't take any... I mean, for all the time off that Taker took, it was after he became a... I mean, if you think about it, based on age, I mean, he's what now? It's 2014. He's about to turn 49. So he, by the time he stops being a regular competitor, he's 46.
Right.
So you're getting a good... And he was still putting on... I mean, take away the Mania matches. I mean, Shawn and other 2010, he's feuding with Kane over the world title. So he's still putting on good matches. And I think that's a fine top pick for one of the shows. But I really like Edge. I mean, he gets hurt a couple of times here and there, but not for long stretches. He was a great heel. Really carried SmackDown for a good portion of, what, 06, 07, 08.
Yep.
Even pretty much through 2009. Then he had that little stretch on Raw in 2010. But, he's the guy's a bona fide blue chipper. I mean, definitely somebody that would be a good longevity pick. And what I think is funny about that, JR, is that these two guys would end up feuding at some point. So
it
definitely works out.
Let's do snake order because I think that's more fair.
Okay.
So Taker would have went round one to SmackDown. So now round two to SmackDown. I think we got a few. We got Jericho. We got Kane. You got Kurt Angle lingering. I mean, you get, 4 years of Angle.
4 years.
At
a
high level. So I think he's in the mix. RVD is in the mix. You get him for a while. I think those are probably the next handful of guys. Names that you may think on the, first glance, you get The Rock and you get Brock Lesnar, who are big names that should go here soon, but you don't get much from them. Like Rock, you get very little from at this point.
Rock, you pretty much only get
a few months, 6 months worth of stuff.
Yeah, and that's spread out over a year because he wrestles through August and then he's gone till the beginning of February and then he's here for a couple months and then he's done, period.
Well, he's not even here, right? He doesn't come back till July. He leaves after this. He's gone.
Yeah, he leaves after this and he shows up
July to August.
He's at King of the Ring.
Right.
Because he watches that dreadful Triple H Taker match.
So late June.
So late June, he's back.
He's gone.
He's only there for a couple months.
Yeah, he's back in February through April. And then we don't get him again until a month for 04.
Yep, and that's it.
And then
he's not back until 2011.
So to me, he sinks quite a bit on this.
Yeah, yeah. You're not getting much out of him.
All right, so who do you like here? Do you like Kane? Do you like Jericho? Do you like RVD?
Hate to say this.
Angle?
Hate to say this, but another guy I got to mention because his shelf life... is no shorter than any of these other guys. Is what?
Big Show?
You could say Big Show, but I was going to even say Benoit.
Yeah. I think
regardless
Benoit's
of how
an
it ended,
one.
That's irrelevant.
Right. Yeah.
He's there no longer than no shorter than RVD is.
Yeah. So let's. I think you look at Jericho, Benoit, and Angle the same. I think Jericho gives you the most, and he gives you the biggest. You know, he transcends the most. So I put him here third.
Okay.
I put Benoit to Raw fourth. And then I think you're going to go Kane.
On Raw.
Yeah, fifth. And then I would go Angle sixth. I think those are your top six.
Mm.
When you look at a mix of quality, giving you time, value for your money.
Yeah. So Raw, we have Edge, Benoit, Kane. And SmackDown, we have Taker, Jericho, Kurt. That's not bad.
Right. I mean, to me, now awesome. Now you're talking. You know, now if you want to really switch things, if you're looking story, we're not looking storyline wise. I'm not worried about booking. You could have maybe had Kane on SmackDown with Taker, and you move Angle with Edge and Benoit. You know, if you're trying to recreate the SmackDown six or whatever.
And incidentally, listeners, we're going by the same rules as the kayfabe draft. That's why neither of us have mentioned Triple H yet.
Right.
Technically, he is the champion, so he's not being picked here. And Austin the same way.
Yep. So here, I think I would maybe put. I think Big Show is in the conversation. Only
he's
got
to be.
He'd be around for a while. I think RVD here, plus you get the IC title, so I think it's a wise move. And then we got to think about where we're going to take Rock and Brock. You know, where do they finally slot in? I think at least Brock has to be soon, because you do get a good, really good 2 years of him.
Yeah, I would put Brock on SmackDown. I think there's.
Well, no, I don't care about. I don't care what the rosters look like.
Okay.
I want to do this in fairness of order. Of where a guy should be. So I'm not going to put, you know, D-Von over Brock because we want Brock on SmackDown. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, right. No, I know. Okay. All right.
I want to just do it based on quality and we let it, the rest plays out itself. So,
okay.
So do you like RVD here? Do you like Big Show here? Do you like, you know, Jeff Hardy is a good one?
Jeff Hardy leaves for 2 years. Yeah, I kind of like Big Show here. I like Big Show.
Over RVD? With the IC title? Don't forget we got Booker lingering too.
Yeah.
Regal.
I'm skittish about Regal because he doesn't stay.
Yeah.
He's not active that long.
He is.
Would you consider RVD and Booker even?
Yeah, because they both leave in 07-ish, right? When does Booker leave?
Booker leaves late 07.
Right, and RVD leaves mid 07.
Mid 07.
Yeah, I'd say they're about equal.
Okay, so how about RVD on SmackDown and Booker on Raw?
Yeah, because I'd rather have RVD star power-wise. So I think he's a slight bump over Booker. Mm. All right, do you want to do Brock Rock here, or do you feel that, you know, Show deserves to be? You also have the NWO kind of hanging, but, I mean, you don't get much out of them. Yeah. They're all pretty much done soon. Anyone in line with Big Show? I mean, I think Jeff Hardy. I think we got to look at him here. Even Matt.
For consistency purposes, believe it or not, here's six of one and a half dozen of the other. You've got Matt, who's more consistent. He's here longer. He's always, you know, somewhere on the card. He's always giving you his best. Jeff is the bigger star, but you don't get as much of him.
Well, let me say this.
So.
Let me say this. The point of this is to make money, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who's making you more money?
Jeff.
Right. So I put him here.
Okay.
And then I put Matt. Well, I go Big Show.
You got to put Big Show.
Yeah,
this point.
Big Show would be next. Okay.
All right.
So now the question is, do you want Matt Hardy or do you want Brock, Rock? I mean, I keep lumping Brock and Rock together, but it's probably not fair. I think Brock...
Rock's slightly more in the staying power department.
Would you put
Brock
over any of the guys we've had yet? Because I've kind of been lumping him in with Rock. But is 2 years of Brock better than anyone else we have so far? Is 2 years of Brock better than 12 of Big Show? Well, don't forget, actually, Big Show left for a couple years, too. I forget that.
Couple times.
Yeah.
How about we go back and put Brock where Big Show is? Maybe put Big Show one round down.
What about Brock over Jeff?
No.
Okay.
No. Jeff is here longer. He gives you more longer staying power.
Okay. How about Brock over Booker? Is 5 years of Booker better than two of Brock?
I mean... 2 years of Brock is better than most guys left.
Yeah.
Really.
Well, definitely more than
two years
left.
Were awesome.
Yeah. Oh, he's going next. It's just a matter of, are we bumping any of these other guys for him?
How about you put Brock even with RVD and push the other, and push Booker and Jeff down one each?
Yeah. Brock yeah, over so RVD, though?
No, Brock even with RVD.
No, yeah, but they're not even, remember? Because we're going snake order.
Oh.
So right now we have RVD one slot ahead of Brock.
He is very popular. RVD's one of those bulletproof guys like Jeff.
Yeah.
Always a fan favorite. Will always put great matches on. Maybe he's not at that.
I think Brock is still better. Bright, I think RVD, like, you get the laziness that comes with RVD. Brock, you get 2 years of top level.
True.
Megastar.
He only tanks his last match, really.
Let's go Brock.
To SmackDown.
Yeah. I'm even thinking Brock over Kane.
Those 2 years are a big deal. They really are.
You know, Kane's been great, but...
Kane's consistent. He's steady. Right. But is he how many times has he main evented anything? He doesn't really main event any... I mean, he does a little bit in late 02, which we'll get to on the vaults.
Mm-hmm.
And then he doesn't really main event, per se, till pretty much 2010.
I say we go Brock there after Kurt.
And then...
Then Kane.
And then Kane on SmackDown.
Yep. In the fourth round.
In the fourth.
RVD right after Kane.
Yep.
Then Jeff, then Big Show.
And then Big Show. Okay. So far your five Raw picks are Edge, Benoit, Brock, RVD, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice mix.
Yep.
And then SmackDown, Taker, Jericho, Kurt, Kane, and Big Show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, so our next pick is to SmackDown. That'll be pick number 11. You know, we got Rock lingering, NWO lingering. Let me toss a couple names at you. So we got Regal.
Mm-hmm.
We got Matt Hardy.
Mm-hmm.
We got Bradshaw.
That is true.
I forget about him.
He ends up becoming a main eventer.
Yep. Christian. And that's really...
He does leave.
Things drop off severely after that.
Yeah. He does leave.
Hogan.
How much are you going to get out of Hogan? Another...
Yeah, but you look at him like the Brock thing, you know? Or Rock. See, Hogan to me made profiles similar to Rock.
Mm.
So maybe instead of looking at Brock and Rock the same, we should have been looking at
Rock and Hogan the same way. Do you put the two of them here?
I guess it depends. Is 8 months of Hogan better than, you know, years of Regal and Matt Hardy? And I guess.
Well, again, you're talking about main events and money matches over mid-card consistency.
Right. Well, on that level, I mean, are they better than Big Show? Would you rather have Hogan than Big Show?
Big Show can fill main event slots.
Yeah.
I mean, he's no Hogan, but I almost consider Big Show a better commodity than Kane.
Yeah.
Kane is just one of those guys that's an every pay-per-view guy, but, well, I guess Big Show's the same. They're almost one and the same. I guess they both could fit main event slots. We've just seen Big Show do more main event slots. Not a lot more, but enough. We still got Booker now. Booker's floating now.
Yeah. I think we go... I would go Hogan over him.
Oh, I would definitely go Hogan over him.
I think I want to move... I'm with you on the Kane thing. I say we move RVD over.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Then Jeff.
Okay.
Then Big Show. Then Kane.
All right.
Actually, then Big Show. Big Show to Raw after, I mean, Big Show to SmackDown. And then, I think Hogan, then Kane.
Okay. So.
I think you can milk that year's worth out of Hogan. Because don't forget, you get him for another 6 months in 03.
Yeah.
Again in 05 for a little bit.
And 06.
Yeah.
Briefly. Problem we have is this draft is falling at a weird time because there are so many commodities that we can't even touch yet.
Yeah.
Because either A, they haven't debuted, or B, they haven't come back yet. So,
Dan, you're losing it here. So it should go RVD, then Jeff.
All I see is squares bouncing all over the place. It's like a video game.
Dan's tracking this horse. Then Big Show. Riveting TV.
Yes.
Then Hogan.
Then Hogan at five.
Yep. Then Kane.
Then Kane there. And then at the six, I would put Booker even with Kane.
Yeah. Then Matt.
Then Matt.
Then Regal.
Then Regal.
And then
you should get Regal till what?
Oh, Regal's on and off for a while. I mean, you get a lot of Regal.
Well, don't forget, I mean, he's pretty much on till 08. He does take some time off.
All right, then I think Rock's going to go here at some point. Now, do you like Bradshaw over Rock?
Yes. You're talking about longevity. The guy was was WWE champion for, what, 10 months or
plus you get the
whatever?
Commentary stuff and everything else. So I'd go JBL here, then I'd say Rock. I don't see anyone else on this list I'd rather have than 3 months of Rock.
Yeah.
As it is, we probably pushed it.
In fact, I would put Rock above Matt Hardy.
You get a lot of good quality TV from Matt.
Attitude.
And you get all the Hardy Boy reunion stuff.
Mm. And heel turns.
Yeah. I'd leave it there.
Okay.
All right, so NWO is really the biggest names we have left.
Mm-hmm.
But really, again, you don't get much because Xbox gone
pretty quickly.
Before 03. Hall's gone. And
Hall's
Nash,
gone, period. Nash takes nothing. Nash is off pretty much from May till... When does he pop his quad? May?
Yeah.
May. And he's not back
April.
Until pretty much May. Or no.
Right after WrestleMania.
Yeah, because he's at that dreadful six-man at Backlash. So he's gone for 11 months.
Mm-hmm.
So he's useless. So the NWO is not even really that great a commodity, to be honest with you.
It's a shit commodity.
You get nothing out of it. It's crap, really.
All right, so... A few names we got here that could fit well. We have Hurricane, who I think is a sneaky one.
Mm.
He has a good run.
Hangs around for a few years.
Christian and Trish and Lita are two good ones as well.
Mm.
So I think they got to go somewhere next here. I think we got Trish and Lita, Christian, Hurricane. That's probably my next group. I'd put Trish and Lita here, I think. I think they're probably the next most valuable.
Yeah, well, they're the backbone of the Divas division for the next, 4 years?
Yeah, I'd go Trish and Lita, I think, in that order. I think Trish is more marketable. Plus, Lita gets hurt, remember?
Yes.
All right, so then Christian.
Then.
We did Regal, right? Yeah.
Yes.
I'd say Bubba, but you don't get a ton of him. All his good stuff came later in TNA.
Mark Henry.
Yeah, that's not a bad one. You think him over Hurricane?
Yeah. Mark Henry ends up being a main event and, wins some titles.
You think Henry over Christian?
I would consider them equal. They both were main eventers.
Don't look at
they
it
both
equal,
had
though.
Injury holes.
Yeah, but which guy would you rank higher?
Mark Henry.
Okay. Switch that, Dan.
Believe it or not. I probably get shit for that. But
no, I'm with you. Because Christian, you miss a big gap of 4 years. I mean, Christian's like a lower level. Well, I mean, do you feel funny having Christian and Matt Hardy so far apart?
No, because Matt Hardy's more consistent. And don't we can't, and you know, we can't use the Willie Wills NWA chant. No, that doesn't count. We're talking about in this realm, in the WWF, not TNA. We don't care that he was.
It feels a little low to me. That's all for Christian, but
he, you put him higher than Trish or Rock?
No. All right, I'd put Hurricane here.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's the best available. Any other divas? I don't think there were too many great ones. I mean, Molly, Tori.
We got her for a couple years. Tori's he. I mean, she's hot and she's on TV a lot, but she doesn't wrestle much. When she does, it's not, earth-shattering.
Kidman, Tajiri. Albert. Billy and Chuck. I mean, you don't really get too much of Billy
Lance
and Chuck.
Storm.
Yeah, Storm wasn't around much longer.
D'Lo. I don't even know he was still with the... When you read his name earlier, it kind of blew by me, and now I'm looking at him like, forgot he was still there.
Yeah, this thing really drops off at this point.
Goldust?
Yeah, but you don't get a ton of him.
No. I mean, he leaves what?
03.
End of 03 and doesn't come back till...
He gets one little spot in 05, but other than that...
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think you can justify
He comes
him.
Back in late 08 as part of that whole Santino IC thing. I just watched that at Cyber Sunday. But that was just like a legend right. shot thing, really. He doesn't come back really consistently till last year.
Right,
really.
Yeah.
So.
Albert?
DDP? That ain't worth
DDP's much. DDP's nothing.
No. Test? Test leaves and comes back. And we get him till what? 07? When did he leave?
Test leaves in end of 03.
And he goes where? Does he go to TNA?
Yeah, he comes back in 07 for a quick run.
For that quick ECW run.
Yeah.
So he's not worth much. Farouk, he doesn't last too much longer. Yeah, we're pretty much everybody
Stacey's
from this
not a
point
bad one
on.
Either, but she...
Yeah. How about Dreamer?
Yeah.
Well, he leaves and comes back, too. Everybody else on this list either leaves...
Right, let's
and
work
never
backwards.
Comes...
Let's go to the end. So,
okay.
Who's the most useful? Like, who's gone the quicker? Saturn? I mean, he was the last pick anyway. He's probably my last... Well, Bossman. Bossman would probably be my last pick. Him and DDP.
Yeah, because Bossman doesn't last too much. He's not barely...
Just incredible as well. So why don't we make them... Those are probably the bottom ones here.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Farouk.
Well, he sticks around for a bit. Let's say Boss Man.
Does he wrestle, though?
Well, let's go. Yeah, he does. Let's go Boss Man, DDP.
Mm-hmm.
So Boss Man would be my last pick. DDP.
Taz.
Well, you get him for the commentary. I'd go Mr. Perfect next. Then Just Incredible. Actually, they'll switch those. I'd rather have Mr. Perfect than Just Incredible, because I feel like I could do something with Perfect for a couple
months.
Well,
yeah, you can. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, then Crash sticks around for a little bit longer, but I don't see anyone like a Stasiak. He doesn't fucking do anything.
Yeah, I don't see stick around for Terry, Jacqueline.
Yeah, they should probably be next, actually.
Yeah,
I'd put Terry there, and then Jacqueline. Then. Yeah, then Stasiak. Crash.
Stevie Richards.
No, he sticks around for a bit. I actually think he'll go a little bit higher. All right, so we have this big gap in the middle to fill in. So we're just going to stack rank the guys left. So, I mean, Snow, he hangs around for a bit. He got a lot of shit in 03. All right, so going back up top, Dan, I think I'd put with Hurricane. I think I'd put let's put Spike. He has a pretty good run still.
Yeah, I mean he gets a good when the cruiserweight belt kind of gets reinvigorated.
I will Spike and then Bubba and well let's put Bubba, then D-Von.
Yeah, they're essentially even.
I'd give Bubba the slight bump. I'd say then Kidman. Actually, you think Kidman to Jerry should be higher?
Well, Kidman lasts, what, through 04?
Yeah. I think Tajiri, maybe. He has a lot of good shit. I'd put Tajiri over Spike and then bump everyone else down. So Tajiri there. Then Bubba.
Yeah.
D-Von. No, I'm sorry, then Spike. Bubba.
Just let you know, fans, you're going to get this again on Wednesday. maybe a little quicker, hopefully, but...
Yeah, this one fell off a cliff quickly. Yeah. Bubba, then D-Von.
Well, I mean, because we're in a, like I said, JR, you and I are in a weird spot here because we're like at this point where there's not that many bona fide main eventers,
right?
And the roster doesn't really get meaty till like June.
Yeah,
between June and like September is when the roster really gets cooking with some maybe even through November. really gets cooking with main event talent.
I'd put Taz. I actually put Taz over the whole Dudleys because you at least get his commentary. So I'd do Taz after Jerry, then Spike, Bubba, Devon.
Why don't we stick some of the divas here in the middle?
Yeah.
Or do you think?
Yeah, well, maybe Stacy. At least.
Okay.
At least get something out of her.
Albert?
I think you go Holly over Albert. Holly at least is around for a while. Mm. If anything, we probably put him a little bit too low.
I don't know if I... Well, I mean, how much lower? I mean, over... I wouldn't put
probably
him
over the Dudleys,
I wouldn't,
no?
Yeah, I was about to say, I wouldn't put him much higher. I wouldn't put him above Christian or Mark Henry.
No. Let's put Holly over Spike. Keep moving those Dudleys down. So Holly, then Spike, then Bubba, then Devon.
Bubba Ray's a big, fat, sloppy pig.
And then Stacy.
Would you put Tori there? Because I wouldn't put Tori.
Well,
is Tori less
bankable
than Stacy?
Yeah, oh yeah. I'm not saying she's not hotter, but I think you make more with Stacy.
Mm.
Name value. You got Test and Dreamer.
We still got what?
Albert, Raven, Rikishi.
18 guys. Rikishi's around for
yeah
a while. Remember, Rikishi wins the tag straps again.
All right, go Rikishi here.
Yeah. He's
How about Billy and Chuck too? I mean they're
wow.
Billy stays yeah. around a while. Actually, I'd go Billy and Chuck over Rikishi, then Rikishi.
I'm trying to remember when did Palumbo have that weird biker.
He left and came back. That was like '09? No. It was before that. Like 2007, 2008, I thought.
I have to go back to my SmackDown recaps because I remember writing about him.
Yeah, well, that had to be 07, 08. That's when you were writing.
Yeah, so I have a feeling it was 08. I wrote into 09, though. I don't remember if he had any... People.
All right, who do you like here? Do you like... We got Snow, Dreamer, Raven, Stevie.
These guys now all pretty much have the same...
Yeah.
The same shine.
All right, I'd go Stevie, Snow, Tommy, Raven. Right, because Raven's around to 03. At least entertaining.
Yeah.
Oh, we got Albert too, that's right. Put Albert here. Albert, then Storm.
Then Storm. How much longer does he last? He retires on his own.
Yeah, he's around until like 05, isn't he? Because then he comes back right after he left for One Night Stand.
Yes, because he fights Jericho. The Thrill Seekers.
Oh, we still got Test.
He's not around much longer, though. Another year.
Yeah, it's a pretty good run in 03, though.
Does he?
I think I'd put him... sorry, Dan, but I think I'd put him after Rikishi, probably.
And shift everybody down?
Yeah.
Dan's probably saying to himself, Karina will never let me do this.
To make him do worse.
That's how you earn your shot at Karina.
We're botting him out here on the PTB podcast 306. This might be the end. All right, let's quickly blow through the rest of these guys. So we got Molly too.
I would put Molly wherever you think the, because if you're looking far ahead, you want to put wherever the women's title would be. Well, no, we're not thinking that way.
Matter.
Dan's making this look sexy, I'll tell you right now.
Oh, yeah.
Because
we put people to sleep. I would, I mean, I think Molly's probably up. I'm not going to make Dan move everyone again. I think we probably misplaced Molly a bit, but whatever. So I'd probably put her after Storm, I guess.
Yeah.
Or wherever we are in this. Okay. So who do we got left? We got Val, Farouk.
We got Val.
Goldust, Farouk, Scotty. Tori, DDP, D-Lo. Well, Val's on and off for a while, right? So let's put Val here.
Well, Val gets, yeah, because I mean, Val gets pretty hot. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, do we really? Maybe he should have been hired, too. Nah, whatever, at this point. Val. Let's go Val, Tori. Then Scotty, too hottie. What else we got?
We have Credible, right? Okay, he's there. Jacqueline?
Oh, look at the NWO.
Yeah, but they deserve to be as low as possible.
Yeah. Let's put, I can't imagine having them much lower than Scotty Too Hottie. I think we should at least have NWO there than Scotty.
All right, so put NWO there, Dan, next to Scotty Too Hottie.
No, before yeah. Scotty.
Go before back. Scotty, I mean.
After Tori. Which is absurd when you think about it. But, I mean, you really don't get much more time.
No, I mean, Hall's gone.
Yeah.
When do they have the, when's the plane ride? June?
No, May. Hall's gone right after Backlash, pretty much April.
Yeah.
And I think Xbox not far behind him. And they never come back, I mean.
Yeah, and I mean, you get Hall, you get Nash for what? 5 months in 03? And then he really doesn't come back again until...
Right.
2012. Right, was that Rumble? 2012? Yeah.
All right, so we got really, six more. So after Scotty should be...
We got Jacqueline. Oh, no, we don't. I keep saying Jacqueline. We do have Jacqueline.
Farouk. Throw Farouk there, whatever.
Yeah.
Goldust. I'd put Goldust. Yeah, right now, that's fine. It's worth it for this run he's had. So we're missing four. Who are we missing?
D-Lo. Do you have Al?
Yeah, we got Al.
We do have Al.
Do we misnumber this somehow?
No, there's 57 names. Saturn, Molly, Venus, Val. Do we have Val there? Crash Holly. Oh, Crash. Do we have Crash Holly there?
Yep.
Okay.
Hardcore Holly. Do we have him?
We're going to put him higher.
We do.
We do. It's just Holly. Okay. Well, that's three Hollies. We have Molly Holly, too. Molly, Holly, Holly, Holly.
Albert, we got him.
Yes, round 18.
Do we end up putting Stacy in?
Yes. Stacy's 14.
I don't see how we're missing four people.
I don't see how we're missing four guys either. Maven?
Oh, Maven, yeah.
We didn't put Maven anywhere. We might as well stick him there. He doesn't last. What's he last, another 2 years?
Yeah, he was actually kind of entertaining, though. I feel like we're...
He was entertaining.
I feel like we really botched this like round. I'm not going to redo it all, but I think we botched like 15 through 23.
Well, because Maven does last through what? Beginning of 05, because he's part of the whole thing in 04.
Oh, DDP. Oh, we got him. I don't know who we're missing.
Regal, Henry... All right, Taker, NWO, Benoit, Kane, Hogan, all Billy,
right,
and Chuck.
Whatever. All right, let's read down. This is the order we have them in. We're missing two or three people, but it's fine. All right, so this is the order we rank these guys in the draft in 02, this 40-minute exercise. Edge 1, Taker 2, Jericho would have been our third pick, Benoit our fourth pick, Brock Lesnar our fifth pick, Kurt Angle number 6, RVD 7, Jeff Hardy 8, Big Show 9, Hulk Hogan 10, Kane, 11, Booker T, 12, Matt Hardy, 13, William Regal, 14, Bradshaw, 15, The Rock, 16, Trish Stratus, 17, Lita, 18, Mark Henry, 19, Christian, 20, Hurricane, 21, Tajiri, 22, Taz, 23, Hardcore Holly, 24, Spike, 25, Bubba, 26, Devon, 27, Stacy, 28, Billy and Chuck, 29, Rikishi, 30, Tess, 31, Snow, 32, Stevie, 33, Tommy Dreamer, 34, Raven, 35, Albert, 36, Lance Storm, 37, Molly Holly, 38, Tori Wilson, 39, Val, 40, Scotty, 41, The NWO, 42, Goldust, 43, Farouk, 44, D'Lo Brown, 45, Maven, 46, Sean Stasiak, 47, Crash Holly, 48, Terry, 49, Jackie, 50, Justin Credible, 51, Mr. Perfect, 52, Big Boss Man, 53, and DDP, 54. So there you go. Hopefully you guys stayed with us throughout the It's up there with the early LaRue episodes. But it was worth the shot. Why not?
It was worth the shot. And we'll do a better job of being a little more fluid on Wednesday.
Yes. Well, Wednesday we're more in line with what we're used to doing, and that is rebooking the supercards for May and June pay-per-views. So you've heard January, February, March, April. We'll be doing the May assortment of shows and the June assortment of shows. And we'll have all the rules, you know, one title match, each guy once. So we'll be putting that together for you Wednesday.
Yeah, I'll tell you right now, just as a sneak preview, I did May today, and it sucked. So,
did it?
Not sucked in terms of quality, sucked in terms of trying to be diplomatic. Yeah, okay. It is not easy. We're gonna have some fun, but it's not going to be easy.
Okay. Well, it'll be very interesting. So that's Wednesday night. Of course, stay tuned Friday, like we said, the debut of the Steve Corino Show. And next Monday, we have Backlash for you. So, Scott, why don't we go ahead and wrap up? Of course, visit us at placetobenation.com, facebook.com/placetobenation, Twitter, place2benation, and many other places as well. So, for Scott and for Dan McGinn, appreciate everyone sticking with us through this one. We'll be back Wednesday night, building our all-time May and June pay-per-view card. Talk to you then.
Dan, you still need to sow your oats.